This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, I had a friend once who would ask, "Do you want to see pictures of my pride and joy?" Naturally, the people with whom he was speaking would say yes. So he would proceed to pull out some cutout photos of detergents, pride and joy. One was laundry detergent and the other one was dishwashing liquid. Now, after that, we would all groan at the bad joke, but this guy's joke points us to how lightly we may be tempted to take the need to have true joy and to hold on to it. True joy is something that only the Lord can give us, assuming we decide to accept it. Now, let's look at someone from the Bible who gives us an example of a long-lasting ability to remain joyful. That biblical person is Paul. His joy was so enduring that he could honestly write to the Corinthians, "In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. It is so awesome that he could write lines like that when things weren't going so well. Most of us, I dare say, can't say the same thing. So we ask, how did he do that? Where did this ongoing level of joy come from? First of all, it was taught by Jesus. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people hate you. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven." That's Luke chapter 6, verses 22 to 23. Troubles for Jesus compound your interest in heaven, which lasts a lot longer than on earth. Second, this type of joy comes from the Holy Spirit, not our own efforts or imagination or family upbringing. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, Paul would write in Galatians 5:22. You receive the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Third, it comes from belonging to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14, verse 17. Fourth, it comes through faith, that is, from believing God and trusting that what he said was true. Paul wrote to the Philippians, or Romans rather, Romans 15, 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." And then to the Philippians, "I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." Philippians 1:25. More importantly, this joy comes from knowing God himself through his word. A good and accurate picture of this is found in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8:12, "And all the people went their way to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them." And again, that's Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 12. The only joy that reflects the worth of God and overflows in God-glorifying love is rooted in the true knowledge of God. It's true that our knowledge of God may be inadequate, yet never fear. That knowledge can grow, increase, and even flourish the more we know and understand, to the degree we are able, the wonderful Word of God. Look at what's happening in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 12, we see a prime example of how God-glorifying joy happens in the heart. Ezra had read the word of God to them, and the Levites had explained it. They read scripture, and the priests explained it, which is from where we get the model of Christian worship and the sermon, Scripture first, then the sermon. After this, the people went to make great rejoicing. Their great rejoicing was because they had understood words, the true words of God. Most of us have tasted this experience of the heart burning with joy when the Word of God was opened to us. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, and that's the passage after the walk to Emmaus, where one of the disciples says to the other, "Weren't our hearts burning within us when he was speaking to us?" Twice Jesus said that he taught his disciples for the sake of their joy. In John 15, 11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Then in his prayer in John 17, 13, Jesus prayed, "These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." And note here, Jesus is talking about that the closer we get to him, his joy will be in us. And what we mainly see in the Word is the Lord himself, God himself, offering himself to be known and enjoyed. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord, it says in 1 Samuel 3:21. The point of all of this is that our joy is going to reflect the glory of God. Then it must flow from true knowledge of how God is glorious. If we are going to enjoy God duly, we must know him truly. Fifth, it comes from seeing and knowing Jesus as Lord. "Rejoice in the Lord always," Paul declares in Philippians 4:4. Sixth, it comes from fellow believers who live out an example of faith and joy. We see their lives, their testimony of faith, and hear their heart as they share how they have joy. They may actually strive to help us focus on Christ and not the things of the world. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "We work with you for your joy." That's giving of yourself to help someone else find that joy. And lastly, true joy may even come from hardship. With honesty, Paul could write, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." That's Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. If we are not yet like Paul when he says, "I am overflowing with joy," the Lord calls us to be. And Paul did so too. He said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ," he told the Corinthians. And for most of us, this is a call to earnest prayer and deeper devotion. Yeah, I know it always sounds like it's the same, but this is the way to get to the Lord and to get to know him more. The more we pray, and this is how it works for most of the Lord's disciples, the closer to the Lord we get. The closer to the Lord we get, the deeper we will get in our joy by his Holy Spirit. And this is also true. A life of joy in the Holy Spirit is a supernatural life. Now, I'm not talking about being a superhero or constantly moving from one glorious moment to the next. But it does help us live above the ordinary. And Jesus is calling us to that. Jesus holds out his hand, much like he did to Peter, and says to us, "Walk with me in my joy above the harsh waves of this life. Know me and focus on me, and you can indeed live a life of true joy." So we have questions, you know, because, well, you know, it's great to talk about all this stuff. It's great to quote all those scripture verses that talk about how we should be joyful or how we can be joyful. But what does it actually start to look like when we're beginning to experience that in our lives and even show it to others? Well, what I can do here is I can speak for how it's worked for me. But I can tell you again what has happened in my own life. we get more of those moments where we understand a passage of Scripture and we go, oh, that's what that means. There's a little bit of joy in that. Those little minor miracles like an encouraging note or phone call will happen. A check that covers a bill will show up. And simply put, the day-to-day, when these things start happening, even in small amounts, the day-to-day seems like less of a real grind. Your outlook will improve, and you'll just sense peace, confidence, and maybe even a little bit of happiness. Although don't rely on being happy. Happy is a fleeting emotion. Joy is a condition. There's contentment that comes in all of this. We start seeing things happen. A little miracle happens. Those little epiphanies and those little moments happen more frequently when we're focused more on Christ and less on ourselves. And if it sounds like we've covered this before, it's because it's important enough for the Lord to reemphasize it and confirm it in our heart and in our spirit. What I was just describing to you is what He wants for all of us. He wants every one of His children, every one of His disciples, every one of His followers to be able to start getting into the habit of having a deeper prayer life where we get closer to the Lord. We pray more. He speaks to us more. We start understanding more of His Word. And the more of His Word we start to understand and absorb into our own hearts and minds and selves, the more joy we're going to have, like we read in that passage in Nehemiah, where people heard the word, they heard it explained, and it gave them great joy to be able to experience that. That's not wishful thinking. That's not our imagination. That's not us trying to force joy to happen, because joy can't be forced. But again, we can rely on the truth. And from all of those scripture verses we've shared this morning, He wants all of us to have joy. Through His Word, and from His Word, and by His Spirit. And if we are indeed able to take to heart His Word for us today, we can indeed truly begin to start to live a life of true joy. Just happens that way. It works out that way. And so we have to spend more time. We really need to spend more time with Him. And I know we're all busy. But there has to come a time where we consciously decide, Lord, I want to spend more time with You. Lord, I'm going to pray more. And then instead of just talking about it, to do it. And we're promised in the Word of God, that when we are able to partner with God in that way, that life of joy will not be wishful thinking. It will truly become our real way of life and a part of who we really are. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.